sorry, you guys.
We're sorry.
I'm not sorry.
We are so sorry. Guys, okay, it just, you know, we could throw all the reasons out there in the world, but at the end of the day, happens.
It was not good.
We are a day late on this podcast.
So sorry.
We try really hard.
But don't worry, we'll spank ourselves. Bad girl.
Yeah. Maybe we should Facebook Live that.
I'm into that.
Okay. Yeah, so thank you for your patience and thank you for not. I mean, I haven't looked at our Twitter yet. I don't know.
Out of fear?
Yeah. I mean, if you yelled at us on Twitter, okay. But if you didn't, thank you for not yelling at us on Twitter.
And we're just, you know, it's not going to happen again.
Well, no, it might happen again. Don't make promises you can't keep.
Well, we're going to try really, 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 really hard to keep planning ahead and not let this happen again.
Yeah. Every time we're late, I'm going to post a series of bad jokes to tide people over. So you'll be, look out for that on our Twitter account at Acquired Podcast.
But we're not going to make a habit of that.
No, but we're not going to make a habit.
I love bad jokes, guys.
I do too. We could just post them for celebration. Bad joke Monday.
Bad
joke Friday.
Bad joke every day.
I like that.
Ooh, kind of like rosé all day. Bad joke all day.
Uh-huh. Yes. All right. Exactly.
So I'm Bethany. Hi, Kathleen.
Hi.
Hi, Sam.
Hey.
What's up?
Our boss is walking around with a jug of, like, a gallon of water that's slightly tinted yellow, and it says not urine on it. Thank you. Package for me.
I just want to take a second to thank you, girls, because the camaraderie that we have here on this podcast, it's not fake. Like, we really do love each other. And one of the places where I feel most comfortable is our group chat.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And, you know, everybody has friends that they don't necessarily live by, but they often text with. Yes. And I know it's a modern day thing, but damn, I am so thankful for group chat where you can just complain to your girlfriends and complain to friends who don't necessarily have time for phone calls and things like that. Yeah, you still get the feelings out.
Can I say how long you were at work yesterday? Am I allowed to say that?
You're allowed to say that.
So you got into work yesterday at what time?
At 6.
6 a.m. And you got out of work at 7 p.m.?
It was like 7:30.
7:30 p.m.
It was a long day, so.
I'm not great at math, but I think that's a lot of hours.
Yeah. It's been, there's a lot going on, and you're basically a one-woman department.
You know, we had Gabby Sidibe here a few weeks ago, and she just was so incredible. I'm so inspired by her, and she was talking about her new book that's out. And she kind of said something during the interview that struck a chord with me, and she said, you are responsible for your own happiness. Mm-hmm. And it's starting to get warm out here in New York and in most places around the country, and New York especially. And where I live in Hoboken, when the weather is warm, people come out.
Yes, they do.
Like, don't you just love walking down the street and people are sitting at cafes and they're sitting in the park and, you know, people just bring their instruments out into public spaces and play them. And I was walking through Washington Square Park and saying to myself, you are responsible for your own happiness just over and over and over again. So if anybody else is feeling kind of down, take a note from Gabby Sidibe and try that mantra for yourself.
Yeah. Damn that girl. And also can take a note from Kathleen, because this is something that I've recently learned. I used to feel that if I have a thought or a complaint, like, keep it to yourself if you are able to, because I don't want to let out negative energy or feel not grateful, or sound rather not grateful for what I have.
Of course.
But recently I've realized kind of it's when you know what your safe place is, it's a good thing. Mm. It's a healthy thing. And you have to know the difference between bringing other people down where you are with you and venting for mental wellness.
Yeah.
But there's a difference. Like once I started like learning that, Kathleen, something I kind of picked up recently.
Yeah.
You feel better, and that's okay.
Yeah.
It doesn't
mean
you're not grateful or not whatever. It's just that stuff happens.
Yeah. Safe spaces can mean people. Yeah. Safe people. Yeah. So find your safe person. Yes.
And you're allowed to vent as long as you're also taking action to improve the situation. That's my rule.
Mm, I could learn a thing or two from that right now.
No, I think you're the things you're venting about, you're working on figuring out, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But if all you're doing is venting and then you're not taking any action, well, now you're just a toxic friend.
We are taking action every single day.
The more you know.
Sam, tell us about this romper you're wearing, because this is kind of leading into our topic today.
I'm very attracted to you right now.
Yeah, it's pretty hot.
You can hop on in, girl. There's enough room.
It's super roomy.
So my parents went to Washington a couple weeks ago, and it ended up being warmer than my mom was prepared for. So yeah. She went shopping. So I was FaceTiming her. She was showing me some stuff. And I said, that is an adorable jumpsuit. I love that. That's so cute. And we're of similar, like, she's shorter than me, which I love. But we're like, you know, similar styles as far as what we cook, you know, the kooky stuff.
Yeah.
I complimented it up and down, like, you look so cute. I love it. It's adorable, whatever.
Describe it quickly. So
it is a jumpsuit, and it's black, and it has like stripes and small dots going down, and kind of like a almost a, just a straight down maze pattern.
It's like a crepe silk sort of.
Yeah.
A floor length, wide legged.
Yeah.
Spaghetti strapped.
Looks, it's like kind of an open back, so I'm wearing a silk bralette, so it's not gross. But my favorite part is when your legs are together, someone might mistake it for a dress.
Yeah.
And then you manspread and show them that it is indeed a jumpsuit.
So yeah, it's just like roomy and flowy and really beautiful.
Super
perfect
cozy.
For a picnic in the park.
Yeah. Perfect for three slices of pizza that I had this morning.
Yeah, that food baby.
There's some extra cushion in here.
All the clothes I've been buying recently, this is how I know I'm getting older. I say to myself, is this going to be comfortable?
Yes. Yeah.
Smart.
That's how you know.
Yeah.
So when I came home the next time after Mom and I FaceTimed, there was one of these on my bed, and she said, you loved it so much, I went back to the store.
Oh.
I'm like, Mom!
That's a good mom.
That's a good mom.
So I got mommed.
You got mommed. Yeah.
I got mommed. And it's not always mom who moms you. You might mom someone else.
Yeah.
But I got mommed real hard. And it happened again the other day. Mom came over for lunch, and I was opening a package with a pair of scissors while talking to her.
Yeah.
So I wasn't paying attention. So I did that thing, which you're never supposed to do, guys. Don't do this, where you're cutting into where your hand is.
Yeah.
And I slipped, and the scissors went right into the palm enough where you felt it. I looked down, and I opened my palm, and I saw a separation of skin.
And then the blood starts.
So I grabbed it, and my mom, as an adult, my mom looks at me and she goes, okay, turns on the cold water. She's like, stick your hand under here. She starts walking. Where's your first aid? She
Moms.
Just snapped into action.
Yeah.
So, I got mommed. I got mommed again.
It's being mommed is the best.
Yeah.
And
because somebody's taking care of you, it feels so nice.
It's yes.
amazing. And so when I don't plan on having children.
Yeah.
So I have this maternal instinct that I push down.
You have such a strong one, though.
It's crazy.
Yes.
It's like in the Book of Mormon where, like, you know, you feel these feelings of homosexuality and then you push them down.
I feel that way about a girl in my book club.
Push them down. Push them down. But it comes out. And when we were flying home from Mexico, our friend and producer David Brody was not feeling well.
It was bad.
He was really, really sick. And he had a gray complexion, and he was just sitting very quietly at the chair at the gate, and he was pouring sweat.
Oof.
And as soon as he sat down next to me, I was like, okay, what are your symptoms? And he gave me his symptoms, and da-da-da-da-da. I was like, all right, you sit right there, do not move, I will be right back. And thank God this airport in Mexico had like little pop-up pharmacies everywhere.
Yeah, really? They were prepared.
It was crazy.
I didn't notice.
Yeah, like they had as many pharmacies as there are Hudson Bar and Books or whatever at airports. So
always reliable.
I went to the pharmacy and I got him everything, basically. Like I got him extra strength Tylenol, Maxima Efficacia, and I got him stuff for his stomach, and I got him
baby pretzels.
Yeah, and then I went to the food court and I got him a full calorie Gatorade, large sized, and then I found the blandest food I could find. Like I found these crackers that were really thin, so it wouldn't be too much.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then I found like another thing of juice, and then I found some gum in case he just felt gross.
Yeah.
And then I found some tissues in case he needed to mop his brow. And then I like run back and I read all of the instructions, and they're all in Spanish. And so I think I gave them correctly. And I'm like, okay, you're going to take this right now. And if you have symptoms again, you're going to take it again in 2 hours. And then you're going to take three of these. And now you're going to drink as much of this as you can, but take little sips because I don't want you to get sick. It's really going to be hard to drink. And then here are the chips. And he was like, no chips. And I said, hold on to them because you might get hungry and they're going to help settle your stomach.
I know you don't want to do this, but you really should. So give it some time and we're going to try try again later. Okay?
Exactly. So I'm like, I'm throwing all stuff. So then as we're getting off the plane, it was the most rewarding moment because when he got off the plane, half of the chips were gone.
Aww.
And he looked at me and he said, those were really good.
Aww.
And we shared a lift on the way home together. And he looks over at me and he goes, you know, I know you don't want kids, but you'd be a really good mom.
Oh my God, that's so sweet.
So I totally mommed all over Brody.
Yeah, you did.
Brody,
all over.
You've been mommed.
You just got mommed.
Bitch. No, that doesn't go with the phrase.
No.
No, it kind of does. You got mommed, you got- bitch. Imagine, I'm thinking of like an officer of the court, but an officer of the mommed court.
Yeah, you just got mommed.
You walk up to a stranger who sneezes and you hand them a tissue. You just got mommed, you bitch.
Kathleen, do you mom or do you get mommed?
I do mom, but mostly to people who do not want to be mommed.
Like who?
When I was in college, I lived in this off-campus house and I had two roommates that moved in. They were significantly younger than the rest of us and they weren't 21 yet. So like the day they moved in, I like was like, guys, like I'll wait up. Don't worry. Like, you'll be fine.
Yeah.
And then they're walking out, and I'm like, do you think you're going to need, like, a cardigan or something? And they made it very clear to me that even though we were living together, that they were not interested in being mommed.
See, I like being mommed.
Yeah, every once in a while, though, here's the difference, and people challenge yourself this way when you feel like you might be being mommed. There's a difference between a friend with the mom-like intentions, like Kathleen in that episode, and someone who's just trying to be really controlling. And comes from a negative place, and I feel like people confuse that sometimes.
That's a really good point.
Because I've also had my hand slapped, and I'm like, what? I'm sorry.
I try to mom my nieces and nephews. Like, I'm like, so tell me what's going on in school? What are you learning? And they're like, we want nothing to do with you.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, my niece's name is Magnolia. I'm like, Magnolia, what's going on in school? Like, what you learning? What's the hot gossip?
Yeah. And what's the tea?
She looks at me like, lady, what's like, groovy? You gotta get a grip. But my niece Audrey let me mom her for a millisecond the other day. She said, well, we're on the letter Y, and when we get to Z, I'm gonna graduate. And then she let me hug her for just a quick second.
What is that?
And I was like, my uterus is shaking right now.
Wait a minute, what is that? Is that like you go through the whole alphabet?
Yeah, when you're in preschool, you're on the letter Y, you start at A, in the beginning of the year, and it's almost the end, so graduate when you get to Z.
There's so many chapters for those little kids. Mine was just like, don't draw on other classmates and be quiet during nap time.
Okay, can I tell you my favorite Twitter account to follow now?
Yes.
It's Los Feliz Daycare, and it's this fake account for a daycare in Los Feliz, and it's basically like these little children who are raised by total helicopter parents and hippies.
Okay.
And so like one of them.
My future child.
Yeah. So one of them is Bourdain, in parentheses, 712 sunsets, keeps telling their classmates that their womb mother is Bjork, but their dads have denied this.
This account is incredible.
It's amazing. Or our incident report, Gimlet, 82 weeks, tried to tell Creation, 85 weeks, that rompers are only for boys, strictly against our philosophy / dangerous.
Oh my goodness gracious. I feel like this is things of, like a preview of things to come, though. People will start talking like this.
No, it's wonderful. I gotta read another one.
What a cute find.
And I actually don't know how to pronounce that. Is it a pronoun? The Z pronoun?
Elise.
Oh.
No, like the Z-H-E-R.
Oh,
it's
Zer.
Zer is
German.
It's gender neutral, so it's...
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Yeah, so I'm not... So if I mispronounce it, I've only read it, I've never heard it. So if I mispronounce that, I apologize. Macchiato, 41 weeks, has been so despondent lately that Z won't baby sign anything other than but her emails. So again, follow them. They're very funny.
I like that.
It's Los Feliz Daycare.
How the hell did you find
that? Oh my God. This is entertaining as hell. I could look at this for days.
It's amazing.
I feel like we might lose Kathleen for the rest of the podcast.
Probably.
She's so engulfed in her phone right now as she scrolls.
Fivel shows signs of early onset averageness. We scheduled a home visit, expecting to find digital consoles, refined sugars, and a troubled uncle.
We are suspending all unsupervised trust time until we get to the bottom of the recent rampant recreational EpiPen use.
Recreational EpiPen use.
I have a mom who's amazing at momming. She was a first grade teacher. So she just has that inherent gene inside of her where she's kind to everybody and she keeps her cool.
Yeah.
I often worry that I'm not going to be that same type of mom that she was to me because sometimes I find myself a little bit cold.
Okay.
A little bit unfeeling.
You know,
unfeeling.
They say kids will warm your heart up. So you have no idea to what percentage that will do.
That's true.
I'm not saying you have a cold heart. That came out weird. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like to
but
help
I can be icy.
Change that. I can
like
be
that
icy.
You know yourself so well.
Until I get to know you. I'm a little bit icy.
You have 9 months to get to know the little
That's
critter.
True.
You'll be good.
The little parasite, like, I mean child.
I'll just bring the baby over to Bethany's house and she can mom it while I'm just taking my mom break.
We're not talking. Why aren't you talking with your baby, Kathleen?
Because Bethany said that she has like this inherent want to mom, but she don't want to own a child.
You like to mom adults.
I like to mom
cats,
animals
dogs?
Mostly, and sometimes people, but never babies.
Babies are that's a lot.
What baby? I mean,
don't you just see a baby and I'm just like, oh my god, you're so cute. I want to fuck you and squeeze you.
I just but here, did you say I want to?
No, my God.
I heard
squeeze you.
I want to you and squeeze you and eat you.
I've heard those words before. Just
but
in a different context.
She said it in a mom voice, so I didn't pick up on anything.
Baby.
That's how I know I was a dog in a past life. I hear tone above text.
I'm just thinking now about living life as a dog. It sounds pretty good.
I'd be the dog that cocks its head back and forth to the words you're saying. I'm trying to understand you.
No, babies are terrifying. They don't learn. Like, you put a baby in a chair and you're like, here. Like, I was watching an episode of Sherlock, like season 4, episode 1 or something.
Kids
and
love
someone
that
has
show.
A kid or whatever. And Sherlock has the kid and the kid throws his toy on the ground. And Sherlock's like, this is illogical. Like, you throw the toy on the ground. If you are interested in keeping the toy, why are you throwing it on the ground? I will give this toy to you one last time. And the kid give the toy to the kid. The kid throws it. It's like,
because the kid's smarter than Sherlock. He's not interested in the toy. He's interested in the attention he gets from Sherlock when Sherlock has to pick it up.
Okay.
Ding, ding, ding.
But question.
Yeah.
Is that the reason kids throw toys?
Oh, yeah.
So you'll fetch?
Yeah.
They're also learning basic motor skills. So the fact that they can do that and let go of something and it will keep traveling and end up somewhere else is fascinating
it's
to
big
them.
Big deal. I know.
They're learning basic things. There are some studies about babies that are so freaking cool, though, because where babies are still in that weird motor function thing that they do things that don't make sense. There's something called the glass table study.
I love this.
Right? Wait, what is this?
It's really mean.
It seems so evil, and that's why Bethany loves it.
I love it.
So it's a round table, a normal round table, and then they put an extra few feet of round glass around that. So it looks like to a baby, there's nothing there, and they'll have the mom stand on the far end of the table and call her baby. They're basically just trying to figure out how are babies dumb enough to walk and
walk
potentially
into air.
Fall. Like, would they fall or would they wait until? And they didn't. They wanted to, but the whatever end result was, they won't walk on the glass because to them there wasn't glass there. Like, they don't know what glass is. It was just the floor, so
the
they didn't fall.
The way I've seen it is like two higher areas on either side of the room, and then a deep area, right? Like imagine a big swimming pool.
Yeah.
It's like on a smaller scale, but imagine a swimming pool and everything is painted in black and white squares.
Yeah.
And then over the width of the swimming pool, again, smaller scale, is a piece of glass. So the baby could safely crawl across the whole thing. And it shows they're trying to figure out the development of like when the baby figures out like depth perception and trust and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So at a certain younger age, the baby will just like crawl from one end of the pool looking down right across the glass, even though in theory there's nothing there.
But
it all looks
just
the same.
Hit that crawl age.
Yep. But then there's a certain point where they won't crawl on the glass because they can't see that anything is there.
It's like, mom, why are you trying to kill me? And that's when people start developing trust issues.
I know. It's great.
That's so interesting.
I know. Cool.
Yeah.
I do. I do love. And I did journalism media in college, but I was so fascinated with psychology that I did my I minored in early childhood development psychology, and those kinds of things were so cool.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I needed volunteers to hand me babies so I could practice mostly safe experiments on them, mostly safe, almost all safe.
Can we do an episode where we go back and look at old studies they used to do that are super unethical?
Yes! Like, oh, my God. Like the jail one or
the electrocution, like you're electrocuting your friend one.
Oh, yeah. Where they had the knob and the random volunteers. Yeah. Like, oh, my. These are so fascinating. Yeah. Yes.
Some people are into that.
Yes. People thought they were killing people
in
another room.
So in the other room, not actually getting shots, but they're like 1,000 volts.
And then they hear silence at 1,200 volts.
Right? And they keep, most and people keep kept going. It. Most, like,
oh my God.
And now it's like, okay, that is mental torture.
Horrible.
To a test subject. But like back in the 70s, it was all cool man acid.
The jail study. There's a documentary on it. The jail study.
I don't know the jail study.
Yes, you do. You both know it, at least to a tiny little nugget. There's definitely a Netflix, I think,
or
something.
Oh, there was a movie made about it.
Yeah, it was a real thing. I think it was for about 2 weeks.
The Stanford experiment.
Yes! Mm-hmm. You are chosen to be a part of this experiment.
Okay.
You're either going to be a prisoner. We assign this to you. You're either going to be a prisoner or one of the police guard people.
Awesome. And I hope I'm a guard. I'm going to kick their ass.
That's the experiment.
Yeah.
And it's 2 weeks. And I forget how many. There were like maybe 14 of each. And by the end of it, people were losing their minds.
Like the prisoners were really
the
prisoners.
The prisoners were being treated like real prisoners, and good people who were signed up to be the guards were doing the most wildly unethical things.
I shouldn't be laughing.
On these mental power trips. It is, if nothing else, one of the most fascinating things ever.
Dude, the 60s and the 70s, like we learned so much, but people got so effed. Like, hey, man, I'm just going to put you on some acid.
Crazy.
And I'm going to put you in a tiny black box for like 6 weeks. I'm just going to see what happens
to
you.
That was it. And you know what one of the best parts were about that thing? You were allowed to opt out at any moment.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. But the prisoners felt like such actual prisoners that they almost forgot they could.
That's like lobotomies.
Science!
People signed up for lobotomies.
Yeah, I have to calm down.
They're like, put a metal rod in my head and shake my brain around.
Tink, tink, lobotomy.
Wrong.
Okay, I have to go in 2 minutes. So should we go around and say what we learned this week?
Yeah. Okay. Who wants to go first?
I have one.
Go!
Okay, so I've not been feeling the best lately. Bit under the weather, you might say. And
sorry to hear that.
You go. Come up with an idea if you're feeling very great. So I was on my couch, and I needed all of the blankets, but I still wanted to be able to read.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you have all the blankets and your arms have to be out.
Yeah.
So this is what you do. You put all the blankets on top of you, and then you take your bathrobe and you use it as the top blanket so you can put your arms in it and read.
Or
if you have a Snuggie, you use your Snuggie, right?
Brilliant.
But you don't need a Snuggie.
Yeah.
You use it as a blanket, and then your arms are free to move around. I basically just invented the Snuggie, but with a lot of blankets
under
it.
You reinvented the Snuggie, and now it's a thing.
Ooh, the Snuggie sleeping bag.
Exactly.
Aha!
Aha! So
well
it's just a little nice life hack if you like to sleep in bed, but you don't want your arms to be out. Or you could wear, I guess, pajamas.
Or you hand jive in your sleep.
I guess it's not a problem if you wear pajamas. I guess
it's a different feeling.
This is a very specific subset of people. Venn diagrams that intersect very slightly. So if you sleep naked and you like a lot of blankets, but your arms get cold and you don't own a Snuggie.
This I understand.
I just saved your life.
Mm-mm. Put on your gym jams. Just sleep in your gym jams.
Or as Kathleen does, sleep in your 7 hoodies.
No.
Seven pairs of gym jams.
No such thing as 2. She stays into the Stay Puff Marshmallow Man as she drifts off to sleep.
I do. Right. I really do.
What did you guys learn this week?
I learned that Charleston, second to Vegas, is the most popular wedding destination in the United States.
What? Really? You were there over the vacation.
I was there. I did a long weekend with my mother, and Charleston is amazing. The people are wonderful. It's so beautiful, and the food is great. But I saw like 15 different brides in one day out in the parks taking photos. I mean, it's a very beautiful city, so it's a great place to take pictures. But yeah, it's incredibly popular for a wedding destination.
Awesome. No awesome. Idea. So if you're looking to get married or if you're looking to avoid weddings, don't go to Charleston.
Don't go to Charleston.
Or you just like bride watching.
Yeah, then do.
Yeah.
Go to Charleston.
Beautiful
That's
city.
Awesome. What about you, Samantha?
So mine is something I learned, but not something I can practice yet. So let's all hold hands and try this together.
Okay.
Right? I learned from my mother this week that it is best for yourself and others to judge people on their own ability rather than your perception of what everyone's ability should be.
Mm-hmm.
My explanation is I have my sisters and I are Kathleen said because we let
literally holding hands.
We didn't say amen yet. Warm, Kathleen.
Okay.
So my sisters and I are very different people in that I am overly and in a troubling way compassionate to where someone when someone isn't as compassionate or acts more selfishly than I would, I get very sad.
Gotcha.
Like, there were serious problems at home because of this one thing. And my mom and I went out to lunch and she said, Sam, if one of your sisters is only capable of giving 10% of something where you usually give 80, and then in this circumstance, she gives you 20%, you have to recognize the extra effort rather than being massively disappointed that she missed you by 60%. And I was like,
wow,
this
amen.
Is brilliant. It makes so much sense.
Yeah.
I'm not big enough to apply it yet.
But you now
and
you know.
She's still, no, I'm kidding. But it was fascinating. Judge everyone on their own ability because it's not the same as yours, just like other people far surpass my ability in some things.
I love that.
I wish we could have had a photo of us just now all holding hands at the dinner table.
Literally.
Saying grace. Bless this food. Blah, blah, blah.
We're about to eat. Thanks so much for everything you gave
us. I love
us.
French fries.
I'm a really big fan of your son.
Okay, thanks for listening.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.